Jennifer Ward Leland, of course, is a well-known face of stage and screen. And she's finding herself getting increasingly busy behind the camera as well in recent times. In 2018, she began training as an intimacy coordinator under the industry leader, Ita O'Brien. He did I May Destroy You and Normal People. And Jennifer Ward Leland became fully accredited in IC last year. It ensures the well-being of actors undertaking intimate scenes, as the name implies, for theatre and film and television. It's a growing field in the post-Me Too era. On top of that, Ward Leland has been busy directing Grand Horizons, which is running an encore season later on this month, 17th of May it opens. We spoke to Roy Billing about that back in January, but it was curtailed. The season was curtailed on account of, you know, the COVID. And Ward Leland is also directing her first movie, or has directed her first movie. It's a short. It's called Disrupt. It's about the effects of methamphetamine on several generations of Afano. She's with me now. I'm amazed that you find time to talk to us, actually.
I set the alarm, Kim, more than that.
You just seem insanely busy.
Let's just say that May, I'll rest in July.
Oh, that's a terrible line. Are you jiggling up and down?
No, I'm not jiggling. Oh. Can you hear me? How's that now?
No, that's good. Let's see how that goes.
Jiggling and excitement of all the projects.
Jiggle. I know, but you're doing, you know, a million things all at once. And you're also, you know, president of New Zealand Equity, and you're on boards. And, yeah, I mean, every day, full of different things.
How do you say no when all these exciting things come up? So, yeah, you're right. It's particularly busy at the moment because of, you know, we opened on Tuesday, Grand Horizons, and
I don't like this line at all.
Okay,
and we're going to call you back on the telephone.
So okay,
I'll pad for a while. In fact, I'll tell people what's coming up in the last hour of the program. You will have heard a lot about black holes this week, because finally we can see a photograph of the huge, supermassive, I think is the technical expression, black hole at the centre of our very own galaxy, the Milky Way. It's the Event Horizon Telescope collaboration got the image. And in fact, the boundary of a black hole is called the Event Horizon. And I'm going to be talking to Professor Roy Kerr, who nearly 60 years ago now came up with this revolutionary theory which changed the way we understand black holes. Stephen Hawking, for one, has paid tribute to him. He's won heaps and heaps of awards, and he's the University of Canterbury Distinguished Professor. He knows more about black holes, possibly, than anyone in New Zealand. And I don't think that's even possible. I think that's probable. And he'll be telling us what he knows about them. My question is, if they are so gravitationally pulley that they don't let any light out, then why don't they suck more stuff in? That's all. Have we got Jennifer back? No, not yet. Thea is also in the last hour of the programme. She's known for her art pop work. She has a very big audience around the world. She now has a project, a Te Reo project, called Te Kahu, which is an all-encompassing project, and its first album is just out. It's called Te Kahu o Rangi, and we will hear some tracks from that and talk to Thea about what the project is all about. I believe Jennifer Ward Leland is back with us now. Huh?
Morena. You've got me, Kim. Yep, Alive and kicking.
Yeah,
not
wow.
Kicking. Not jiggling, no jiggling, no kicking.
You know, that's what you get for doing too much. You just can't keep everything up and your phone line goes down. What do we have you on? Do we have you on phone or Zoom?
You have me on my mobile.
Now we do, but Zoom. Zoom's let us down badly this morning.
Ah.
It's, you know, it's not what it used to be. I wonder why. Tell me about intimacy coordination, please. We've spoken about this before, but now you are a fully qualified IC purveyor.
Sure. So,
what do you say?
I think the best way to think about it is as you would for a stunt coordinator. So obviously in a scene with a stunt, there's an inherent risk that people are going to get hurt. So you put some resource around that. You allow rehearsal time, you hire in a stunt coordinator, you've got the gear there to make sure people are protected, and it's the same for a scene of intimacy because people can get hurt physically or psychologically. So we are putting a professional process around those scenes where we break them down into beats, just as you would choreography. So you're looking at the physical beats, the emotional beats, and you're putting together a scene that is, well, repeatable, importantly, robust, the actors know what they're doing, and right at the core of everything, of course, is consent. So if you look at the scenes through a lens of transparency and communication and consent, then everybody knows what they're doing before they step in front of the cameras, and the actors aren't left to kind of sort out something for themselves or go with what they're happy with. And, you know, the other thing, of course, is that, you know, we know our statistics around sexual assault are not good in this country, and not that I'm conflating intimacy work with sexual harassment in any way, because it's a legitimate part of the actor's work, but it does. But I would say that 90% of the people I work with have had some, at the very least, uncomfortable experience, at the very worst, veering into sexual assault. So it's been a very necessary sea change in our industry.
A legitimate part of the actor's work, but only recently. Has it changed what we see on the screen? Has it changed what we see on the screen?
I think it's made it better, because generally the experiences that the actors are creating is a lot deeper, it's more creative, and it's 100% consented, and that makes a huge difference. So actors aren't
to be honest, a lot of the scenes we see on screen are not necessarily about consensual anything.
Oh, no, they don't have, it doesn't mean that the quality of the scene or the content of the scene has to be in any way
different,
sanitized or anything.
Right.
No. It could be sexual violence. It could be anything. But the fact is that the work between the actors is consented. So the actors are looking through the lens of the character. You know, what is the character going through? And the actor is not bringing their own personal sexuality or personal dynamic or personal anything to the scene. They're bringing their acting skills. That's a huge difference. It's a huge relief for actors.
I see that you learnt from a kind of veteran in the field, and she did a number of, you know, very well-known edgy series. For example, I May Destroy You, Eater O'Brien, and Normal People, which took quite a lot of intimacy coordination, I imagine. But it's not just intimate or sexual scenes that you are called on to help with?
No, it could be anything where you're in the intimate personal space of somebody else. So it could be bathing an aged person. It could be working with children. It could be, you know, changing a baby's nappy. It could be giving birth. Anywhere where you're in that space where, you know, I'm sure the general public wouldn't, for instance, like to, you know, lie on a table and have their legs apart when somebody's in between them. You know, it's let's try and make that as good an experience as possible for the performer.
And have you been in theatre or screen productions where an intimacy coordinator would have been a very good thing had such a thing been invented at that point?
100%. 100%. And I think most actors that we work with have. Yeah. And, you know, this became, for us at Equity New Zealand, around 2015, so this was before Me Too, we were hearing a lot of anecdotal evidence that actors were finding a lot of these scenes problematic, either in on set or in rehearsal, or in auditions even. And so we started putting together some guidelines. Ita got in touch with me about 2017 as she was putting guidelines together. So we sort of, you know, we were able to offer up some of our things to her. And then she came over 2018 in that lovely little window before a certain virus descended upon us. So a few of us got to work with her one-on-one, and that was great. And then she was mentored me from then on. So, and I have to say, a lot of Ita's work has been very useful, because if you're doing scenes that have a flavour of some of the work that she's done, she can say, well, go to episode 2 of I May Destroy You, have a look at this. You know, this is a useful way to look at a particular scene. So, I you know, I couldn't have been more lucky to have had her train me.
Are you always welcomed on stage or set?
99.9% of the time, yes. Absolutely. I think there has been some, I think the industry, the good thing about New Zealand is we're really small, so we take on change really quickly. So the industry is very aware that intimacy coordinators exist, and on the whole have just been amazing at making that available for the actors. You know, it makes a lot of other departments work well. You can go, you know, be the go-between between the actor and wardrobe, the actor and makeup, the actor and production. So the actor isn't having to sort of navigate these things by themselves. So for many productions, it's a great relief to have somebody in that role. And some directors are, you know, are very prescriptive in what they want, and that's fabulous. And then some are like, that's up to you and whatever the actors are comfortable with. So you have to be flexible and make sure that you are serving the director's vision, and then making sure that it's done with all the professionalism possible.
Do you, I mean, how much time does this take up for you now?
I would say it's about maybe 30% of my work now. Yeah, I mean, there's probably
30%. That's quite a lot, eh?
It is. Yeah, considering probably in the last 3 years I've done over 50 productions now, and that's including opera and theatre and musicals and TV drama and TV comedy. So, you know, it's certainly taken hold here in New Zealand, and probably a lot faster than many other places.
It has been reported, of course, that you have been involved in the upcoming Lord of the Rings television series.
Oh, isn't that funny? I did one day on set there to relieve a friend of mine who was working as IC there, Tandy Wright. And my name got out there, and I received probably 8 emails from people all around the world saying, Lord of the Rings has no sexuality in it, and blah, blah, blah. And I felt they're saying, well, yeah. It still doesn't, you know, but we're there to make sure that the actors are protected. So the company, the big companies are really wanting to bring ICs on because, you know, it's good practice.
So people were worried that somebody had tampered with the Lord of the Rings, Amazon had tampered with the Lord of the Rings, and had inserted gratuitous sex into it to snazz it up.
Exactly, exactly. It's like bringing us in equaled some kind of, you know, hedonistic version of Lord of the Rings.
That's disappointing.
Funny, really. Yeah.
I won't bother
Let's
watching it.
Let's just
say
I didn't respond to the emails.
Did you
I
not?
Think they were from Uber fans.
It's always quite wise not to respond to those emails, I think. You've also been directing. I can't believe this is the first movie that you've directed, is it?
Yeah, it's mostly been theatre. So this little film, Disrupt, we just got into Beverly Hills Festival, and we were in the Hawaii Festival. We're going into Māori Land and obviously the New Zealand International Film Festival. So we're very, very pleased for, you know, this little movie. And it'll do the rounds to a few other festivals.
Did you need intimacy coordination on it?
We didn't. I was very lucky to work with my friend Aroha Awarau, who wrote the film, and we'd done a lot of theatre together. And he said, you know, do you want to do this movie? And I said, to his email, did you mean to send this email to me? Because you know I haven't directed on screen before. And is it another Jennifer? And he said, yes, yes, I know. I think you'd be good at it. And so thank you, Aroha, for your faith in me. And I did have a wonderful time working with the actors. I find being on set, is I'm very used to that, used to being behind the scenes as an IC. The new stuff, of course, was all of the production stuff around it, post-production, pre-production, editing, all of that. That was really new for me. And I'm also having the opportunity right now to work on a little drama series called Pony Pony, which created by Nicole Hoey and written by Stacey Gregg. And it's starring two beautiful 10-year-old children who are fluent in te reo, so it's fully in te reo, this series, and a miniature horse. So they say never work with children and animals, but we've had a fabulous experience working with two kids and a horse.
What's the Māori for horse?
Hoi ho.
Hoi ho.
Hoi
ho. So this is...
H-O-I-H-O, with a macron.
And so this is the te reo form of pony, pony, pony.
Well, actually, pony is pony, but pony pony is little.
Ah, that's handy.
So we're calling it pony pony. Yeah. So that's just been insanely gorgeous to work on, and there's not a day that goes by when we're shooting that I don't sort of rub my hands in glee and sort of squeal a little bit, seeing how fabulous these children are.
So directing might be your big thing from now on.
Well, yeah, I've done quite a lot in the theatre now, and with Grand Horizons, of course, it's been immensely satisfying. It's the most beautifully written play, probably one of the best constructed plays I've ever worked on. It's funny, it's moving, but the rhythms that Bess Wohl has written in this piece are just sensational. They give the actors, if the actors play the rhythms, which they are, because they're a fabulous cast, their characters are revealed in so many varying ways. It's really a joy to be part of, and I'm thrilled that we're coming back again for 2 weeks.
I talked to Roy Billing about that at the beginning of the first season, which of course was curtailed. It was COVID that cut that short, was it?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't that anybody in the cast got COVID, but the cases were rising, and you could feel people were starting to, you know, undo their bookings, and we didn't want the actors to be
going to empty houses.
Yeah, and be anxious. We didn't want the anxiety levels to rise. And we'd been looked after so beautifully by ATC. Everybody was tested and well looked after, and we were in the sort of little bubble of being able to work, even if it was 100 people in a 650-seat theatre. But now, you know, the doors are well and truly open, and I'm really pleased for the actors that they will get a chance to perform this play to more than 100 people, even though our 100 people who came were willing and wonderful collaborators.
What's it like, though, performing to a theatre where people are spaced apart and quite sparse?
Yeah. I think because before we went on, we knew that that was how it was going to be. There was just an acceptance that, yes, you know, they may laugh, but you might not be able to hear it so well, especially behind masks. But the actors really trusted in their work and in the play, and whether it was 10 people or 10,000 people, they were still going to do their work, and the play was still going to work because it's so beautifully constructed.
I mean, people said of it that it was a tremendously good play to watch in straitened circumstances because it's funny. And also, I imagine, quite close to the bone for some people. Nancy announces that she wants a divorce from Bill after 50 years of an apparently perfect marriage.
Yes.
Well, you know, there might be a few people thinking that way after a couple of years of lockdowns.
Indeed, I've heard of a few quite recently. But also there's that dynamic of the children who are in their 30s, late 30s, thinking that they've got their parents sorted in their lovely retirement village, and now the parents aren't doing as they were supposed to be doing. And this really upsets the apple cart with the boys, who are having to look at their own relationships and their own relationships to their parents and what they've seen in that marriage over 50 years. So in many ways, the
you know, the news of the impending divorce just brings up an enormous amount of their family dynamic. So that's where the brilliance is, really. So anyone who's got older parents and perhaps expecting a child, and being that sandwich generation, or thinking that the parents are kind of sorted and you've done your work and, you know, now you've got them safe and secure, and hopefully they won't, you know, do anything to disrupt what you've always thought of as, you know, our family dynamic, the parents' marriage. And it turns out, you know, to be quite different than the boys ever thought.
Do you, and this is such a cliched question, but I'm interested to know what you think now, do you think that you are a better director having been an actor? Still an actor, of course, but having that experience.
Yeah, definitely. 100%.
So what do you say to directors who've never been actors?
Oh, that's not to say that there aren't brilliant directors who've never been actors, but for me and for the directors I've worked with, I love the ones who've been actors because they can sometimes just unlock something or just say that one thing because they know how you tick. I love that. You know, I know when the actors are getting frightened, I know when they're feeling secure and when the role's landed. I guess I can just feel it because it's what I've been doing for 40 years.
Do you ever want to make them feel frightened because that's what the part demands?
Yeah, there's a difference between the actor being frightened and the character being frightened. Now, here's the interesting thing, of course, is for the actor, their body doesn't know that it's not real. So you have to find some way to kind of tap out at the end and find a sort of sense of equilibrium. But you want the actor to feel professionally, you know, personally safe. They can be professionally vulnerable, if that makes sense. You know, I want them to be secure enough to be able to find those things within themselves without taking themselves into a sort of psychologically damaging headspace. And that's one thing I've been focusing on in my teaching going around the drama schools, is to take some workshops about crafting out so the actor has some really strong tools that they can use after these kind of disturbing roles to be able to, sort of re-center themselves. So, you know, that's been a huge focus, is going to drama schools for that kind of work and for providing the students with a practice around intimate scenes, so that even if they were doing a play or a production or something where there was no IC, no intimacy coordinator, that they would still be able to have something to draw on in their own personal practice that would keep themselves safe.
Excellent to talk to you. Best of luck with Grand Horizons and with your multitudinous other projects.
Thanks so much, Kim.
Yummy, Jennifer Ward-Leland.